let's lift our hands to the Most High God and begin to bless His holy name. Give Him all glory, all honor, all adoration. Let Him know you appreciate how great He is. Bless His holy name. Worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Tell Him you love Him, you adore Him. Give Him all glory, give Him all honor. Let Him hear your voice. Let Him hear you praising Him. Give Him glory, give Him honor. Give Him adoration. There's no one like Him. He is the Almighty God. He's the Ancient of Days. The great I am that I am. Our Savior, our Healer, our Provider, our Deliverer. The Ancient of Days, the Holy One of Israel, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, bless His holy name, worship Him. Give Him glory, give Him honor, give Him adoration. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you forevermore. Amen. Amen. Now I want you to lift your voice to Him loud and clear and say, Father. I said loud and clear, Father. Lord of hosts, arise tonight and fight my battles for me. Open your mouth and cry unto Him. Lord of hosts, arise tonight and fight my battles for me. Lord, fight my battles for me, O Lord of hosts. I have no help but Thee. You are the helper of the helpless. Arise, O Lord, and fight my battles for me tonight. Give me total victory tonight. Total, complete, absolute victory tonight. Arise, O Lord, and fight thy battles for me. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Now I want you to join your hands together and pray for your neighbor with all your heart. And said, Father, give victory to my neighbor tonight. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Please, my Father, my God, give victory to my neighbor tonight. Give him victory. Give her victory. Give victory to my neighbor tonight. Give victory to my neighbor tonight. Thank you, Father. Give victory to all your children tonight, Father. Give us victory tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth adore. Even angels bow before him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God. What a mighty God. Almighty God, Jehovah El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough, the Ancient of Days, the Rock of Ages, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Holy One of Israel, we worship you. Please accept our worship in Jesus' name. We want to thank you for all you've done in the past conventions. And we want to thank you for what you've started to do here since Wednesday. We thank you for what you're about to do now, Lord. Please accept our worship in Jesus' name. Tonight, like you have never done before, please visit your children. Show yourself mighty on all our behalf. And do what we alone can do. At the end of everything, Lord, after you have saved souls and healed the sick and set the captives free, let all glory and honor be yours and yours alone. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Let somebody shout hallelujah. That's not bad, but if you believe that your miracle is going to be the greatest tonight, shout the greatest hallelujah. Now that's better. Let's put our hands together for the Almighty God, particularly for our choir. They have done a great job again tonight. Glory be to God. We're going to move very quickly. I won't take too much time. Because when God wants to perform miracles, it doesn't take a long time. Everything will happen suddenly. And believe in God that suddenly somebody will begin to shout for joy. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. While you're opening your Bibles, I want to thank the Almighty God for all the great men and women of God who are worshiping with us tonight. Those who have gone and those who are still around, I pray that the Almighty God will continue to bless your ministries in Jesus' name. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Tonight we want to talk very briefly about divine victory. For the benefit of those of you who are not here on the opening night, I will quickly define the theme. The word divine means pertaining to God, belonging to God, from God, of God. Anytime you hear divine, we're talking about God, the involvement of God. So when we talk about divine victory, you know we are talking about the victory that comes from God. The kind of victory that only God can give. And I'm believing God that the Almighty God will prove himself in your life today in Jesus' name. Now the word victory means success in competition or war. When there's a competition between two people or two groups of people, the one who succeeds, the one who wins, is called the victor. In competition, we have winner, we have loser, and occasionally we have a drawn game. However, in war, we only have winners and losers. In competition, we share the prize. The winner takes some, the loser takes some. In war, it is winner takes all. The loser will either die or go into bondage. And so I want to start by decreeing the name that's above every other name, that you will never be a loser. Let's reach an agreement. If you are not going to say amen when I pray for you, I won't pray anymore. I say I decree tonight that you will never be a loser again. Because being a loser is a horrible thing. It sends you either to the grave or into bondage. Now, basically, our adversary is the devil. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, 1 Peter 5, verse 8, he said, your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, is walking about looking for whom he may devour. But he has an army. The devil has an army. Part of the army could be one or two people that you think are really the people fighting you, but the devil is the one behind the scene. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 to 17, Ephesians 6, verse 12 to 17, the Bible says, we do not wrestle with flesh and blood. Our fight is with principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. So we are not fighting human beings. Almost all the time, we are fighting the devil. Life is war. From the day we are born to the day we die, we are fighting. The Bible tells us that the last enemy to be defeated is death. So we have a continuous war, but by the special grace of God, victory, victory is of the Lord. Proverbs 21 verse 31, Proverbs 21 verse 31 says, even though the horse is prepared for battle, but safety is of the Lord. And the text I read to you in 1 Chronicles 29 verse 11, 1 Chronicles 29 verse 11 says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory. Victory belongs to God. And so I want to prophesy to someone tonight that in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, you will go home with your own victory. Now, there are categories of victories. We have incomplete victory. Joshua chapter 11, verse 21 to 22. Joshua 11, 21 to 22 says, Joshua cut off the Anakims everywhere except in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod. The victory was incomplete. Joshua wiped out the Anakim from the land of Israel. Except in Gaza, except in Gath. I'm sure you've heard the word Gath before. And except in Ashdod. Whenever victory is incomplete, there is trouble ahead. Because among the Anakims left in Gath, and Anakims are the giants, later on came somebody called Goliath. And you know how he terrorized Israel for 40 days. In the name that's above every other name, every victory of yours shall be complete tonight. Some other victories are temporary. In other words, they are just for a while. For example, in Joshua chapter 7, verse 2 to 5, Joshua 7, 2 to 5, the inhabitants of a city called Ai defeated the children of Israel. And they were happy. They were rejoicing. They thought they had won a great victory. But by the time you get to Joshua chapter 8, if you read it from the beginning to the end, Joshua 8 from verse 1 to the end, you will discover that the victory of Ai was temporary, because later on the children of Israel overran Ai and not only just destroyed, they burnt them and they made sure that they became a desolation forever. In the name that's above every other name, all your enemies that are laughing now, thinking they have won a victory, their victory shall be temporary. Now, divine victory is always complete. That's the first thing you need to note about divine victory. It is always complete. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, from verse 45 to 51, 1 Samuel 17, 45 to 51, you discover that when God kills a snake, he does not leave the head on. If you read the story of David versus Goliath, the Bible said that Goliath was already dead when the stone hit his head. And yet, David went ahead and cut off his head. In my own particular side of Nigeria, they always say, stay away from a snake that has his head on, even if it appears to be dead. When God gives victory, he doesn't just kill the snake, he cuts off his head. And every serpent in the family of someone here tonight will lose his head. Now, the victory of the Almighty God is also permanent. The victory that God gives is never temporary. It is always permanent. In Exodus chapter 14, from verse 13 to 28, Exodus 14, 13 to 28, when the Egyptians came after the children of Israel by the Red Sea, Moses said something to them, which is a message for someone here tonight. Moses said, the Egyptians you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. He said it at night. By the following morning, all the Egyptians were dead. I am believing the one who sent me, that there is someone here today, all the problems you brought here, by the time the sun rises, they will be gone forever. Now I will tell you very briefly the reason why you can be sure that God will give you victory tonight. Reason number one, nobody can defeat him on land. Why? Because Psalm 24 verse 1, Psalm 24 verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. So if your enemy is on the land, if that enemy walks on land or moves on land and is facing my God and your God, that enemy cannot win in the battle. For example, in Numbers chapter 16, and you can read the story from the beginning to the end. Numbers 16, but if for brevity of time, you can read it from verse 23 to 33. Some people gathered themselves together against Moses. They forgot that they were fighting the owner of the earth. What the Almighty God did was he spoke to the earth and asked the earth to open its mouth, swallow these people, and shut its mouth. I am believing God. I'm believing him 100%. That every problem in your life, even as you are sitting down here, the ground will open its mouth and swallow them all. Some of you have heard me tell the story before. We had a wedding in my village. I was much younger than I am now. And all of a sudden, I saw the witches and wizards that used to trouble me when I was young. They came to the wedding. And I had what you would call holy indignation. So I went after them with everything I've got. When I finished preaching, they went and told the mother of the bride, "It is your daughter getting married that you brought this small boy to come and insult us. We will see where that your daughter will ever give birth to a child." The child became pregnant. The mother ran to me in fear. They said, "My daughter will never deliver." I said, "We will find out who owns the ground that they walk upon." I told the mother, "Don't worry yourself. The day your daughter will deliver, every one of them will be asleep. I decree to you today, the day of your glory, all those who say you will not reach your goal, they will be fast asleep." The child that they said will never be delivered is now a medical doctor. That God is here tonight. And it's about to give victory to somebody here. You cannot defeat him by sea. Why? The Bible says the wind and the sea obey him. So if the enemy trying to fight you is one of these enemies that said they operate within the waters or they operate within the sea, don't worry yourself. My God will take care of them. You know very well the story I mentioned to you about Exodus. In Exodus chapter 14, if we read it from verse 21 to 28, God said to the sea, "Open." The sea opened. He told his children to pass through. And as they were passing through, the enemy decided to follow, which was very good. Because as soon as they got into the middle of the sea, the Lord asked the sea to close up again. Every enemy that followed you here for this convention had made a very silly mistake. Because they won't return home. This God is the first one to manufacture a submarine. If you ask the soldiers, they tell you what a submarine is. It's a vehicle that will take soldiers and will be walking and be moving underwater so that the enemy will not know it is there. You don't believe that? Check Jonah chapter 1. There was this young man, God sent him on an errand, and he tried to run away from God. And he was stupid enough to want to run away by sea. And the Almighty God just told a little wind to blow. And there was a huge storm. And the people didn't know what was causing the trouble. And then Jonah said, "I am the one causing the trouble. You throw me into the sea and all will be well." They threw him into the sea, but God had prepared a submarine, a huge fish that swallowed him up. And that God that I serve spoke to the fish and said, "This is not meat for you to eat. This is something for you to carry. because I want to teach this boy a lesson. As soon as the boy came to his senses, God spoke to the fish and said, this boy can't swim. Take him to dry ground and vomit him there. That is my God. I don't know how he's going to solve your problem. But one thing I know is all your enemies that want to operate by the sea, they will come to an end tonight. Some of you will remember the story of a lady that came to us and said, sir, I found the man I will marry. And I said, congratulations. And said, better have a problem. What is the problem? My father said that when I was born, I was dedicated to Mami Water. And the Mami Water spirit says, if I ever dare marry a man, the day I marry, the man will die. I said, that's no problem. I have somebody who can control Mami Water because he controls the sea. He showed me the man and we prayed a simple prayer. They got married and I didn't see them for quite a while. The next time I saw them, I saw the girl breastfeeding a baby. And he said to me, sir, do you remember me? I said, how can I forget you? You are the Mami Water girl. So I said, where is the young man? And he pointed him out to me, and the man was healthy and strong. Any force, any agent of the devil that says that it will not be well with you, my father will deal with him tonight. And you cannot defeat him by air. Why can't you defeat him by air? Because he says in Isaiah 66 verse 1, he said, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. He's sitting in heaven, his feet is on the earth. That means he occupied the entire space. So where is that witch going to fly through without encountering my God? In Joshua chapter 10, if you can read it from verse 1 to 12, Joshua 10, 1 to 12, the Bible made it clear that the first person to throw a bomb is my God. Don't believe me? Read it, it's there. Some kings were fighting with Joshua and they were trying to run away, and God began to send heavy stone from heaven to break their head. And you've probably heard of the story of the man who came to the church with his wife. And after some time, we didn't see the wife again. And we decided to do a follow-up. And the woman said, since I came to your church, I have not been able to fly at night again. I decree tonight, every witch troubling your family will never fly again. Now, I did that one as introduction to prepare you for what God is about to do tonight. I won't spend too much time. Just get ready for your miracle. Stay on your toes. I want to talk to you about victory, divine victory, in five different aspects of life. You might need victory in just one aspect. You will get it tonight in Jesus' name. You might need the victory in more than one aspect. Even if you need victory in the five aspects, you will get them all tonight in Jesus' name. Let us talk about victory in the physical. The principal aim of Satan in attacking you physically is to cause you to deny God. He said in Job chapter 2, verse 4 to 5, Job 2, 4 to 5, Satan said to God, all you need to do is afflict Job, and he will curse you to your face. Satan wants to make you sick so that you can look at God and say, what kind of God are you? I am serving you. I am your child. I'm doing everything I know how to do, and now I am sick. That is the purpose of Satan. But in the name that's above every other name, Satan shall be put to shame. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 to 14, 2 Kings 5, verse 1 to 14, we see another reason why Satan afflicts people physically. It is to render every other thing that you might have achieved to be of no value. He's talking about Naaman there, about somebody who was successful in everything, but then he had an incurable disease, and that reduced all his achievements to nothing. In Mark chapter 5, from verse 25 to 34, Mark 5, 25 to 34, the Bible talks about the woman with the issue of blood. And we see in that story again the purpose of Satan in attacking you with one ailment or the other, to reduce you steadily to nothing. Because the woman just kept on dripping and dripping and dripping until she spent everything she had. But just as God stepped in the case of Naaman, just as God stepped in the case of the woman with the issue of blood, is going to step in for somebody here tonight. One other reason why the devil may want to attack you physically is so as to tie you down to a spot. In John chapter 5, verse 2 to 9, John 5, verse 2 to 9, the Bible tells us about the pool of Bethesda, where there were people waiting for the moving of the pool. They couldn't go away because they did not know when the angel will come. The devil wants you to be tied down by sickness. He wants you to be in the hospital. He wants you not to be able to go where you want to go. But the devil is a liar. The devil is going to lose the hold on you tonight. And of course, in Mark chapter 2, if you read from verse 1 to 12, Mark 2, verse 1 to 12, you will see another reason why the devil may want to attack you with sickness, and that is to turn you to a burden. He wants you to become a burden to others. This story tells us the story of a boy that was carried by four men. The devil wants you to be carried from one place to the other. But because you came tonight, in the name that's above every other name, you will cease to be a burden to others. Why do I know that God will give you victory tonight? Because it is written, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter 2, verse 24 says, by his stripes you were healed. As those who taught us when we were younger will say, if I were healed, then I am healed. If by stripes I were healed, then today in the name of Jesus Christ, I can claim my victory. And according to John chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3, John 1 from verse 1 to 3, the one who was the word from the beginning is the one who made you. And all he has to do is send his word and he will heal you. You don't have to be touched to be healed. All God needs to do is send a word. And for those of you who are here tonight, you are facing one physical battle or the other, I decree your victory right now in Jesus' name. Now, I've told you again and again, I can tell you stories upon stories of people that even the doctors have written up. Some of you will remember, and the brother of the fellow I'm talking about is right here with me on the altar. Way back in 1983, The bears hospital in London said to the young, to the parents of the young man, take this boy home because he had 2 weeks to live maximum. And they brought him home. They brought him to the one who has never lost a war. We prayed. The Almighty God stepped into the situation. That was 1983. That young man is here alive today. All those who say you will die young, you will attend their funeral. And then there might be some of us who are facing battles in the mental realm. Now, each time we talk about mental problems, some people always think of madness. That's not it. We just say that some people have problems with their thinking faculty. Some people cannot remember things. Some people, particularly students, may have problem understanding in the classroom. Some students, they have brilliant minds. They understand when the teacher is teaching, but when they get into the examination hall, they blank out. Every one of you having one problem or the other with your memory, with your brain, with your ability to understand, with your ability to pass examinations, my God, we fight for you tonight. The devil wants you to be a fool. Why? Because he knows it is written, Psalm 14 verse 1, the fool had said in his heart, there is no God. He wants you to say, there is no God. But God will prove himself tonight. The devil knows that it is written in Proverbs 13 verse 20, that the companion of fools shall be destroyed. The devil wants you to be a fool, not to be to have the ability to be wise, because he knows that according to Proverbs 3:35, the Bible says, shame shall be the promotion of fools. But my Bible tells me that in James 1:5, he said, if any lack wisdom, they should ask God, and he will give to you liberally. If, as of now, you are not as clever as you ought to be, if, as of now, you have difficulty remembering things, if, as of now, you have a problem passing examinations, may I decree to you that the Almighty God will give you victory in the mental realm in Jesus' name. I've told you this story before, and it will be good for those of you who are students. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Almighty God. The Lord says there's someone here tonight. He said, I will use your case to prove that I'm the God of all flesh. I told you this story before of a young man who was the son of two professors. The father a professor, the mother a professor. But this boy was just a dullard. If we want to talk in my native language, we will say, where the brain is supposed to be, there was only water. He never passed an exam. You put him in any class, he will be the bottom of the class. They moved him from a class where there were 33 students to a class where they had about 40. His position moved from 33 to 40th. Even though his parents were professors, they got him the best of teachers, and yet he kept on failing. Then we had a program in the university where they lived. We prayed a simple prayer. The next examination that the boy did, he came first. The teacher said, it is not possible. They said, it is not possible. They said, we know this boy. Even if you give him the answer, he will copy it wrong. So they gave him another exam and he scored higher. I decree to all the students here tonight, in the name that's above every other name, you will never fail another exam. And then I want to talk about warfare on the marital front. Warfare at home. Warfare concerning your marriage. The purpose of the enemy for making people barren is so that they can turn around and call God a joker. Genesis chapter 18, from verse 9 to 14. Genesis 18, 9 to 14. You know the story very well. Ah, thank you, Father. We can go home after this one. The Lord asked me to tell someone here tonight, say, I have heard your cry. As far as I'm concerned, that's it. Who is that fellow, by the way? Please let me hear you shout a big hallelujah. In Genesis 18, verse 9 to 14, when the Almighty God said to Abraham, tell your wife, she's going to have a son. She laughed. And the devil enjoyed that. Because Sarah was actually saying, God is a joker. I know, and I thank God for the testimony we had of somebody who'd been barren for 15 years. And now she's here showing us her baby. Many of you don't appreciate these testimonies. But put yourself in the position of this woman. Every month, for 15 years, she had cried. Because she thought, this month, I'll be pregnant. Nothing happened. Next month, I'll be pregnant. Nothing happened. She probably had attended meeting upon meetings, had prayed and cried to God, had wept, had fasted, and nothing had happened. After 15 years, the answer came. I believe God for someone here tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, 9 months from now, you too will be singing for joy. It's either the devil wants you to say God is a joker or that God is a liar. Because when you read 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 to 17, 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 8 to 17, the Bible tells us that when Elisha said to the Shunammite woman that she was going to have a son, what the Shunammite woman said is, man of God, do not deceive me. Don't lie to me. The devil wants you to feel that God can be a liar. But God will prove himself to you tonight that he doesn't lie. You can go through the scriptures. Consider 1 Samuel chapter 1 from verse 1 to 6. 1 Samuel chapter 1 from verse 1 to 6. It tells you the horrors that Hannah went through. The Bible said the adversary, that's the name God called the other woman, because she was representing the devil. She said the adversary vexed her soul, kept on rubbing it in. You're barren, you're fruitless. What are you doing in my husband's house? But when the Almighty God moved in, mockers were silenced. In the name that's above every other name, anyone who's already mocking you now will come and rejoice with you very soon. When you go through the scriptures, you will discover that barrenness can even cause people to consider suicide. In Genesis chapter 30, verse 1 to 2. Genesis 30, verse 1 to 2. Thank you, my Father. Let me say amen to this one before I tell you. Because the Lord said that he's going to do something for someone that will fill your mouth with praise. In Genesis 30, verse 1 to 2, Rachel said to her husband, "Give me a son or I die." I have good news for those of you who are desperate for children. I believe God called this meeting because of you. And if you have relatives who are trusting God for the fruit of the womb, pass the message on. Because you are here tonight, fruitlessness will come to an end in your family. But then, many a times, it is not even the issue of not having children. When the devil wants to attack a family, it goes by the principle that if you cannot get the trunk, go for the branches. If you can't get the father, go for the son. If you can't get the mother, go for the daughter. And then he begins to attack children. In Matthew 15, verse 21 to 28. Matthew 15, verse 21 to 28. The woman that came to Jesus Christ said, "The devil is vexing my daughter." In Matthew 17, verse 14 to 18. Matthew 17, verse 14 to 18. A man who came to Jesus Christ when he was coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration said, "The devil is vexing my son." In 1 Samuel chapter 2, from verse 22 to 36, 1 Samuel 2, from verse 22 to 36, the Bible tells us it is the sons of Eli that destroyed his legacy. For some of us, the problem is not us. The problem is the children we have. But I have good news for you. Even in that area of your life, you will have victory tonight. Once told you the story. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, my Lord. Daddy says someone will soon be singing a song. And do you want to know the song? Melody in my heart. I have melody in my heart. Today, melody in my heart. I have melody in my heart. Today. Melody will be swelling within you beginning from today in the mighty name of Jesus. I told you this story. I was asked to come and preach to a group of eminent personalities in Ikoyi in Lagos. Those of you who know Lagos, you know what Ikoyi stands for. And while these people were gathering, they asked me to stay in the house of the lady who was hosting the event. I entered the house. My plan, I was going to preach on You Need a Miracle. But when I entered the house, and they asked me to sit in one sitting room, from where I was sitting, I could see four other sitting rooms in ascending order of splendor. I wanted to change my topic, because this fellow doesn't need a miracle at all. And then God spoke to me and said, she needed one more than you know, because she has one son, and that one son was on drug. And that boy, when the mother refused to give him more money to buy drugs, decided that I will fix you. Waited for when the mother was going to travel and planted drugs in the handbag. The mother got to Britain before they arrested her. It was because she had plenty of money that she was able to wriggle her way out. But that day, the Almighty God stepped into the situation. The boy gave his life to Jesus Christ, and the yoke was destroyed. I decree right now, every child that is giving you trouble, the Almighty God will arrest in Jesus' name. In every area in your family where you are fighting battles, some battles you can't even talk about, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, God will give you victory. And then you can face battles on the financial front. It is true, the Bible says that both the poor and the super rich have problems. You may not believe that until you read Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8 to 9. Proverbs 30, verse 8 to 9. The Bible says if you are too rich, you may even deny God and say, who is God? But then he said, if you are too poor, you may steal and then take the name of the Lord in vain. Now, I know there are rich people here, but I can't see any super rich here. So we are not going to waste time discussing the super rich. I know that in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, no matter how wealthy you become, you will never deny God. But poverty is a destroyer. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 15. Proverbs 10 verse 15 says, the destruction of the poor is their poverty. Everything said about the poor in the Bible is not complimentary. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 20. Proverbs 14 verse 20 says, the poor is hated by his neighbors. They just hate you simply because you are poor. Proverbs chapter 19 verse 7. Proverbs 19 verse 7 says that even the brethren of the poor hate him. And we know, and I'm sure those of you in this part of the world will know this more than anyone else, that the creditor can wreck your life. If they say they want to foreclose on you, that means they are about to throw you into the street. In the case in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. 2 Kings chapter 4, from verse 1 to 7. The Bible made it clear that a widow owed some people. When the creditors came and they found nothing that they could sell in the house, they said they would sell the sons. But God intervened. That God I serve will put an end to your struggles financially tonight in Jesus' name. How will he do it? That's not my business to know. All I know is that in Proverbs chapter 10 verse 22, Proverbs chapter 10 verse 22, the Almighty God said in his word, the blessings of the Lord make it rich, and added no sorrows with it. That same blessing of the Almighty God, receive it today in Jesus' name. And you know what? All you need is just one breakthrough. You have one breakthrough and you are settled for life. And I'm believing God for you that because you came, you will have that breakthrough. I've told you several stories before about people who had breakthroughs. I saw the example the apostle who preached before me was showing, and I was just smiling. You should hear my own stories. You should hear from people that the Almighty God gave breakthroughs to. Just one breakthrough, and the matter is settled. Maybe I should just remind you of one. You remember the story of the Arab boy who got born again and had to run away from his country because they were trying to kill him. Thank you, Father. When he's talking, I have to stop and let him do the talking. He asked me to tell someone, this is very good news. He asked me to tell you, no more delays. Thank you, Father. Daddy asked me to tell someone, he said, I know you are down. He said, don't stay down because I'm ready to take you to great heights. Anyway, I was talking about the Arab boy. The Arab boy ran to London, had no papers, and so he couldn't get a good job, and he got a job with a fast food restaurant. But he kept on serving the Lord. And then one wealthy Arab came to town, wanted to buy houses, loaded with money, but he couldn't speak English. So he would see a house that he likes, he would go there, whoever he finds there, he would say, house, me, buy. And that fellow would say, get away from here, who told you I want to sell my house? And he kept on going around. He was hungry and angry. But he saw by the sign that this is a restaurant. So he went in, sat down, and was grumbling to himself in Arabic. And this boy went to him to serve him and had him grumbling in Arabic. And so he spoke to him in Arabic and said, sir, what is the problem? And the man said, oh, you speak my language? The boy said, yes. And you speak English too? He said, yes. He said, I want to buy houses, but these stupid people don't want to sell. And I can't explain to them. So he said to the boy, please, come and be my interpreter, so I can buy the house. The boy said, no. If I go with you, I will lose my job here. A man said, I will pay you. I want you to interpret for me for 3 days. I will pay you. A boy said, how much? He said, £1 million a day. And the boy said, please don't go away. He went to the owner of the restaurant and said, bye-bye. The owner of the restaurant said, if you go and come back, I will not employ. He said, I will never come back. I decree in the name of the one who sent me, today you will say bye-bye to poverty. Oh, glory be to God. All right. So I just want to talk about maybe just one more case, and then we'll give you opportunity to begin to pray. Now, that is in the spiritual front. Battle in the spiritual front. This is where the biggest of all the battles lie. Because according to Isaiah chapter 14, from verse 12 to 17, Isaiah 14, amen. The Lord asked me to tell someone here, and please take note of this. He said, one day when you tell people you used to be called a failure, they will not believe you. In Isaiah 14 from verse 12 to 17, Satan wants to prove just one point. He wants to prove that he's equal to God. He said, I want to be like the Most High. And so he keeps on trying his best to show you that he's the one in control, that he's the one ruling in the affairs of men. But the Almighty God will prove himself tonight and show you that he's the Most High who rules in the affairs of men. Do I hear amen to that? Why? Because the God we serve is the Lord of hosts. And at the mention of the name of Jesus Christ, every knee must bow. The reason you are going to have victory tonight, because if you have victory spiritual, because the spiritual controls the physical, the reason you are going to have victory tonight is because God will want to use you to show the devil that is the one that is in control. The reason you are going to have victory in the physical is that God is going to show the devil he is the one, God is the one who made you, not the devil. The reason you are going to have victory in the mental aspect of life is that God wants to show the devil that wisdom belongs to God. The reason you are going to have victory in the marital sphere is because God will show the devil marriage is of God. And that is the one who said increase and multiply. And he's going to show the devil when he has given you victory over the problems you are having with your children that he wants the devil to know children are a heritage of the Lord. The reason God is going to give you victory in your finances is so that the devil will discover what God had already written, that silver belongs to him and gold belongs to him. And so I'm appealing to you that you let God give you victory in the spiritual tonight so that your victory in all other areas can be taken care of. I thank God that when the man of God began to speak, he spoke about faith. Because the area where we have the biggest battle of all now is in the area of faith. There are many of us now who no longer believe that God can do the impossible. And if only God can help me to convince you that with God all things are possible, for the rest of your life you will never suffer another defeat. You see, the fact that you are still alive today is because with God all things are possible. Believe me honestly, God said, if you have faith, like the grain of Musa's seed, he said you'll be able to move mountains. And there are some of us who are here who do not even believe that you have that kind of faith. But I want to prove to you, my brothers and sisters, that you are a man and woman of faith. You ask me to prove it? Simple. When you came in tonight, you did not check the chair you are sitting on to find out whether it can carry your weight or not. Did you check? Answer my question. No. You came in and sat down. Why? Because you believe that the manufacturer did a good job. You are a believer. Many of you came here by car. You enter that vehicle by faith. You believe that if the driver presses the brake will hold. But you didn't know. You only came by faith. Many of you have traveled by air before. And Sama, when you enter that plane and they shut the door, you don't even know where the pilot is taking you once they take off from the ground. And yet they serve you food on the plane and you eat. Why? You believe that the pilot will take you to the correct destination. How can you believe man and not believe God? How can you believe the driver of the vehicle that brought you and cannot believe the one who drives the heavens? How can you believe the ordinary maker of the chair you are sitting on and you cannot believe the one who made you? You have faith. Don't let the devil tell you that you don't have faith. And because you have faith, today, every mountain in your life is going to be moved in Jesus' name. If you believe that, let me hear you say amen loud and clear. Faith. That's the only thing now that the devil is struggling with you over. Struggle and some of us will say, I've had experiences in the past, I've prayed in the past, I didn't get an answer. Pray again. Tonight we're going to pray in faith, and the Almighty God is going to answer us without any doubt. If you believe me, let me hear your amen. Somebody said, I believe if only Pastor Adeboye can lay his hand on me, I will be healed. I said, so you have faith in Pastor Adeboye? He said, yes. What about the God of Pastor Adeboye? Because Pastor Adeboye is nothing without God. And where you are seated, he can lay his hands on you. As a matter of fact, I'm saying now, in the name that's above for every other name, may the Almighty God touch you right now. And the Bible says he doesn't even have to touch you. All he has to do is speak a word. And the word has come to you tonight. You shall be victorious. If that is for you, let me hear you say amen loud and clear. And it doesn't even matter whether you believe him or not, I believe him. And when I pray, he will answer me. I've asked my daddy tonight, if for no other reason, if it's just to honor your name, that people have come now to associate with my little name, give all those who come here tonight victory. In Jesus' name. And it shall be done. I'll tell you one story and then we'll close. Or we'll move on to the next item. In Yoruba land where I was born, if somebody is mad, if somebody is insane, as long as the fellow has not gone to the marketplace to strip himself or herself naked, they believe he can still be cured. But the moment a mad fellow goes to the marketplace strip himself or herself naked right in the center of the marketplace, they believe there's no hope for that one at all. And so there was this young man that somebody brought to us. The wife was crazy, and the wife had gone to the marketplace and stripped herself naked. So, as far as our people believe, no hope. So they just took her to one herbalist to go and stay there for the rest of her life. But the husband came and gave his life to Jesus Christ. And they described the house of the herbalist to me. So I went there to pray. I prayed for 2 minutes and I left. And when the fellow who took me there contacted the husband, he said, "The fellow you sent here was a joker. He came to pray for a woman because the woman was tied down, shackles and all. And he prayed for only 2 minutes, 2 minutes. What kind of joke is this?" So after a while, they decided, well, maybe rather than tie her down in the herbalist home, let's move her to at least the psychiatric hospital. They would drug her, and at least there'll be an element of decency till she will pass away. So they brought her to the best psychiatric hospital in Nigeria. And for one reason or the other, the professor in charge there said, "Let's watch this woman for a while to discover what kind of drugs will be given her." After 7 days, they sent for the husband. And the professor said, "If you say this woman is mad, then you need examination." And the husband said, "What are you talking about?" They said, "This woman is absolutely normal." "This woman, absolutely normal." But then they now said to the husband, "She's all right now, but don't let her do anything stressful. She must never become pregnant, because in the process of labor, that may trigger the problem again." The husband came to me and said, "This is what the doctor said. We rejoice that the woman is well." He said, "But they put this condition." I laughed. When my God gives victory, it is total. When my God gives victory, it is permanent. As of today, I don't know the number of children, but I know the last time I heard from them, the woman had had at least 3 children. And she's still completely normal. In the name of the one who called me, I decree tonight that your victory will be total. Your victory will be absolute. Your victory will be permanent. But before I ask you to pray, because I'm going to call you forward to pray tonight, after which I'm going to ask some pastors to join their faith with yours by laying hands on you, so we'll fulfill all the conditions of the word of God, that if two of us shall agree as touching anything we ask on earth, it will be done by our Father in heaven. I will want to appeal to those of you who have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus Christ to do so. You know why? The Bible says, "He that commits sin is of the devil." If you are of the devil, we cannot ask God to rescue you from the devil. The devil will claim that he has a legal right to hold you. But if you said to the devil, "Leave me alone, I'm going to surrender my life to Jesus Christ," you come under a new management and everything will change. Because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So if you are here, thank you, Father. I want to close, but the Lord asked me to tell someone. He said, very soon, you will be richer than the one who calls you wretched. Oh my. Father, I just want to thank you. Because God is saying something, and I believe this one is for me. So I'm saying yes to it before I tell you. He said, very soon, someone is here, very soon, you'll be telling God, please, if you don't mind, can you slow down the rapidity of my breakthroughs? The breakthroughs will be coming so rapidly, you will say, Father, if you don't mind, can you slow it down? That one is for me without any doubt. But as I was saying, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, please come now. Leave the camp of Satan. Come to the camp of Jesus Christ. It is only then that you have a right to say to the devil, leave me alone. I belong to Jesus Christ now. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So I'm going to count from 1 to 7. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you want the devil to leave you alone, you want to come under a new management, please come before I say 7. And I'm counting now. 1. You may be the only fellow. Don't wait for anyone. Many a times in a meeting like this, God called the meeting for just one person. You might be the one. So if you are the one, run forward now as I count. 2. 3. If you really want to come, you will move fast. You don't slow down when you are leaving the devil's camp. Don't let him pull you back. Come and give your life to Jesus Christ. 4. Those of you who are clapping, your hands will never be empty. Provided you clap it very well. 5. Keep clapping. They are coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Hurry up. Hurry up. Make this your day of decision, your day of salvation, your day when you are saying bye-bye to the devil and you are coming into the household of God. You are coming to the kingdom of God. You are coming into the family of God. 6. Hurry up. Hurry up. The Lord is calling you. This is your day. Glory be to God. Any other person? Hurry up. The Lord is calling you. Glory be to God. Hurry up. Hurry up. Make sure you get here before I finish praying, because I must pray now. Thank you, Father. Now, those of you who are in front, talk to the Almighty God. Ask Him, I've come to surrender my life to you. Please have mercy on me and save my soul. And the rest of us, please let's stretch our hands towards these brothers and sisters and cry to God for them, that the Almighty God who saved our souls will save their own souls also. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God for them. And those of you in front, talk to God. I've come to surrender my life to you. Please have mercy on me. Forgive all my sins. Let your blood wash me clean. And I will serve you from now on. I will do your will from now on. Any other fellow who wants to come, you better come very quickly now, because I'm about to pray. Thank you, Father. If you are coming, wave at me so I know you are coming, so I can wait some 10 seconds for you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Savior, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your word that has gone forth this evening. And thank you for these people that have come to surrender their life to you. Father, please receive them in Jesus' name. I am praying, Lord God Almighty, that you will save their souls and you will wash away their sins with your blood and write their names in the book of life, so that from today onward they become members of the family of God in Jesus' name. And Father, I'm praying that from now on, anytime they call on you, you will answer them by fire. Thank you, Almighty. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Now, those of you who have come forward, let me hear you shout hallelujah. Oh, very good. I want to tell you that from now on, by God's grace, I'll be praying for you. So I'm going to need your names, your address, and your prayer requests. The counselors will collect the information and pass on to me, and I promise you I'll be praying for you. So if you turn to your right, you see a lady there with a placard. Kindly follow her. She will lead you to where some pastors are waiting. They will collect the information I need and they bring you back very quickly. Let's clap for Jesus as they go. Congratulations. Congratulations. Go ahead, clap, 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 clap for them. Now, for 5 minutes, I want you to tell God the area where you need victory. Just for 5 minutes. After that, the pastors will come and lay hands on you one-on-one to join their faith to yours. But in the meantime, tell God, you know the area where you need victory. Is it in your body? Is it in your mind, in your brain? Is it on the family front? Do you need victory where your children are concerned? Is it in your finances that you need victory? Is it in the area of the spirit? Are you having difficulties believing God? Are you struggling with doubts, struggling with unbelief? Do you have the feeling that some demons might be waging wars against you? Whatever area where you believe you need victory, talk to God about it tonight. The Lord of hosts is here and is more than able to give you divine victory. Tell him, help me, Lord. Give me victory in this area of my life. Help me. Don't let the enemy triumph over me. Silence all mockers in my life. Arise, O Lord, fight for me in this area. I need help. And I have no other help but you. If you don't come to my aid now, Lord, I'm sunk, so help me. Help me. Just like you have said, Lord, use my case to show that you are the God of all flesh, that there's nothing too hard for you. Help me, Lord, so I can testify very, very soon. Arise, O Lord, and defend me. Fight my battles for me. Scatter the enemies of my soul, the enemies of my family, the enemies of my destiny. Arise and fight for me, Lord. Don't let me ever fail again. Fight my battles for me. Don't let me ever be defeated again. Please fight my battles for me. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Now I'm going to request the pastors who have prayed with me that they should please line up now. For the next few minutes, I want you to lay hands on these people, join your faith with theirs, and pray for them that the Almighty God, the Lord of hosts, may fight their battles for them. So, pastors, will you please line up in front of the people? The band, please keep on worshiping God to bring down the power as the people of God will step forward. God bless you, pastors. Shall we move a little faster?
About you, you are great. You are great.
Okay. If you have not yet been anointed, if they haven't laid hands on you, could you shout hallelujah? Please, let one of the pastors come and lay hands on the instrumentalist. Okay, they're already here. Oh, glory be to God. Now, we're going to do two or three things very quickly, and then I will anoint your handkerchiefs so that you have something to take with you at the end of the convention. The first thing we're going to do, and please be seated. Thank you, choir. First thing we're going to do is we'll take two or three or four more testimonies. Then we will thank the Almighty God. And then I give you an opportunity to ask for something special from God. Then we'll anoint your handkerchiefs and you'll be on your way. Is anybody already blessed here? Yeah. Let me hear you shout yes. Very good. So let's have a few testimonies more. Thank you, pastors, for a good job.
Let somebody shout hallelujah. We are not shouting hallelujah like somebody who is already victorious. If you are the most...